Hey, all you Tolkien heads, I'm David Gaddy.
And I'm Jeremiah Orr from the Theonauts Podcast. And you're listening to the Secret Fire Podcast with your hosts, Michael, Micah, and Brendan.
Right here on the GCT Network, your Great Commission transmission.
Gandalf, my old friend, this will be a night to remember.
Broadcasting from the last homely house in Rivendell, Middle-earth, this is the Secret Fire Podcast, sent to burn at the heart of the world, episode number 22. I'm Michael.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Micah.
On this episode, we continue hiding in the wings with an as-of-yet-undiscovered hobbit and listen to Elrond Half-Elven recount the history of the One Ring in the Council of Elrond, part 2. And we invite you to come along, join the fellowship, become a servant of the Secret Fire each week here on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
On this rainy, rainy October 25th, third age 3018, it is still Micah's birthday in Middle Earth.
It's a long birthday.
Even though it's been 2 weeks since we've been in the studio. What in the world? Unplanned.
Hey, unplanned stuff. You gotta make room
for
it.
We were waylaid by life.
Yeah.
Is what's going on. And so, and it's a shame. I loathe missing out on the show each week. But, man, things just happened. It was just a succession of dominoes of life of happening. I've had car problems after car problems and needing to try and figure out how to get those vehicles back on the road. And just as that was taking place, Brendan, our refrigerator went out.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. So that was fun. Oh, so I had to figure out what was going on with the refrigerator. Thankfully, I was able to diagnose that problem with my handy dandy little voltage meter that my dad got me for free. Diagnosed that to a fan, a condenser fan that went out, but nobody had the condenser fan for that in stock here anywhere local. So I had to order that and wait for a couple of days. So we were living out of an ice chest for a couple of days, trying to feed six people out of an ice chest. That was no good. And finally got one of the cars back on the road, and then lo and behold, another problem occurred yesterday, and I had to take care of that. You've had car problems.
Yeah. So for some reason, the alignment on the new car that I got was a little wonky. And in fact, it was so wonky that it balded both of the front tires. There was metal coming out, and I didn't even notice it until I started hearing this scratching sound on the way to school. Whatever morning that was, I text you.
Yes.
And I get out of the car and I look, and there I can see the wire poking out of the tires. I rub my hand on the tires and it feels very smooth and creamy.
Buttery smooth?
Yes, buttery smooth. The way a tire should never feel. And I was like, okay, I gotta go get this fixed. And luckily it was just the alignment. You know, it wasn't anything.
Yeah, but you had to replace a couple of tires, didn't you?
Yeah, still had. Oh gosh, yeah, still had to replace the tires.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yes.
This is one thing after another.
Oh, and then you know, so last week or the week before, I believe it was. I knew we weren't doing a show, and since I don't like that time lapse, I don't like 2 weeks in between a show to go by. I mean, that's technically 3 weeks since our last episode, right?
Yeah.
And so I figured, hey, we have a Twitch channel. We're streaming live on it right now at twitch.tv/secretfirepodcast. How about if I hop on LOTRO, Lord of the Rings Online, and stream me going through the events, the quests at the Farmers Festival, which I love the Farmers Festival. Micah, do you share my love with that you're lifting your microphone up a little
bit? Yes, I do. It's probably my third favorite. So
your third favorite out of all the festivals. What do you like about the Farmers Festival?
Well, first of all, it's leading into fall, which I'm a big fan of.
And yes.
I don't know. It's just you wouldn't understand if you don't play Lord of the Rings Online, but they all have a certain feel, and I just like the feeling.
I do, too. Yeah. You know what it does to me, though? It makes me very hungry.
Yeah, same.
that festival, because a lot of it, Brendan, one of the quests is you go to a grocer and you have to help all these people with their shopping lists and stuff. Huh. And these people eat good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There you go.
Yes. And they're wanting to make mushroom stews. And
I was about to ask, with plenty of mushrooms.
Oh, goodness.
Plenty of mushrooms.
And the bread. It's okay. It's actually got me to where I started Googling, how can I learn to make homemade bread? Okay. And the cheeses.
Yeah,
and
the cheeses get me every time.
Yes. And the onions, you know, it's like a plain white one or a nice red onion or a purple onion, whatever it is. And all these things. It's just, go over to the meat stall and there's some pork and bacon and beef and all these things. It's just fun. That is what I like to do. Well, I hopped on to do that. And as I'm streaming and talking and explaining everything and how I actually perform the quest and I look on OBS over here, and lo and behold, my streaming quality is just down in the tank. I can see it was in the red, whereas right now it's nice and green and everything's hunky-dory. I just had to stop. I had to stop the stream because I knew that it was not coming across well, and it was, you know, stuttering and getting hung up. Well, our wonderful internet company that loves to have problems but never acknowledges that there's a problem. Yeah, I get on Twitter and I'll do a search and people all over the place are complaining, and then here's, you know, their help Twitter just saying, oh, well, why don't you send in a support ticket? It's like, no, you know there's a problem. You know that. And so anyway, that was just one more thing in the in the list of things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. I want to take this opportunity to let everybody know that if you'd like to help us out, you know, here at the GCT Network, and especially here for Secret Fire Podcast, we do have a new Patreon page up at patreon.com/GCTN. You go over there, it's PATREON. .com/GCTN. You can read a little bit about what we do over here and how you can help. And if you can spare a cup of water for us here in the studio each month in order to wet our whistles and keep the mouth noises down, mm-hmm. That's the place to do it. And a big, huge shout out to our new patron, Saint Douglas Underhill, who took advantage of that. And so, you know, we love his feedback and his input, and he likes to put us into our place and to correct us on things whenever possible. And we appreciate that. And he's a smart cookie and has some great insights. And now he's wanting to make sure that we are able to keep things going here at the network. And to be honest with you, it'll go a long way to fixing refrigerators and aligning front ends and all of those types of things. So again, patreon.com/GCTN. All we're asking from you is a cup of water. If you can do more than that, there are other options there. So please help us out and keep the fellowship going. Where did we leave off?
Well, as I turn to my now manual.
Oh, so now two people are using paper dead trees.
Get with
yeah,
it.
It's...
You took my book.
Get with the medium, man. No, I think this is. I think it's going to work
out
better.
That is much thinner than the book that Micah is holding.
Well, that's only the first, right?
Yeah, this is only the first.
Yes.
This was actually in... Okay, so we all remember the wonderful bookstore that closed down, Hastings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how much a shot to the heart that
day.
Was. Man, so when they were clearing their shelves, they had the quadrilogy, all three books plus The Hobbit, for sale in a collection for like $30. Mm. I went ahead and nabbed it up. And good. It was already on like a 50% discount. And because of their closing prices, like, well, I got to get this before someone else gets it.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Good move.
Hey, there you go.
Okay.
Okay, so we last left off with Elrond addressing the council. This is on page 271 in my edition. Where are we at in yours, Mike?
Oh, goodness. I can't see. That's too small.
243 or something.
Yeah, 242, 243, right around there. Michael, hold it up to the camera there so people can see.
In the Kindle.
The cover.
That one, yeah.
Oh, the cover.
Yeah, that's the one volume edition.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, He says that is the purpose. He's okay. So he's just explained why, how all the questions that everyone here has, he explains how this one event can answer all those questions. And he says that is the purpose for which you are called hither. Called, I say, though I have not called you to me, strangers from distant lands, you have come and are here met in this very nick of time, by chance as it may seem, yet it is...
Providence.
Hey, what you said.
Yes.
But it is not so, or yet it is not so. Believe rather that it is ordered so that we who sit here, and none others, must now find counsel for the peril of the world. Now, therefore, things shall be openly spoken that have been hidden from all, but a few until this day. And first, so that all may understand what is the peril, the tale of the ring shall be told, from beginning even to this present. And I will begin that tale, though others shall end it. Very ominous. Very ominous.
This is a solemn occasion.
Yeah.
There's no well-mannered frivolity going on here, is basically what's going on.
No. And just to reiterate from what we briefly talked about in the last episode, this chapter is all about establishing the crisis. It's about establishing, you know, that's a storytelling term. It's establishing what is really at stake.
Making it clear.
Yes,
right?
making it clear to all those involved in the story.
Unless you, in case you were confused up to this point.
Yes, exactly, exactly. In case you had any questions,
there was the mystery, so he carried the mystery up to this point very well.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah.
And now
and
we
the
get...
intrigue, yes. Yes, and now
the reveal.
Then all listened while Elrond in his clear voice... spoke of Sauron and the Rings of Power, and their forging in the Second Age of the world long ago. A part of his tale was known to some there, but the full tale to none, and many eyes were turned to Elrond in fear and wonder as he told of the Elven smiths of Eregion.
Eregion.
It wouldn't sound French. Why would I say that? Eregion.
No.
Oui, oui, Eregion. No,
Tolkien fought the French. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Exactly. And their friendship with Moria, and their eagerness for knowledge, by which Sauron ensnared them.
I highlighted just that phrase,
okay.
And I want people to dwell on this.
Okay.
We won't expound too much. We haven't even got started.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're just ramping up.
And their eagerness for knowledge by which Sauron ensnared them. There's a lot packed into that statement. And my goodness, we could have a discussion for the next hour about that concept, that idea. Their eagerness for knowledge was what allowed Sauron to ensnare them. Now, because I'm dwelling on that, am I implying that eagerness for knowledge is a bad thing? Mm-hmm. No, but can it be a bad thing? Can it lead down the path that ends up with you being ensnared by this wicked individual
mm-hmm.
being? Yes. So just something to consider.
Hey. For in that time... he was not yet evil to behold. And they received his aid and grew mighty in craft, whereas he learned all their secrets and betrayed them and forged secretly in the Mountain of Fire the One Ring to be their master. But Celebrimbor was aware of him, and he hid the three which he had made. And there was war, and the land was laid waste, and the gate of Moria was shut. Then all the years that followed, he traced the ring. But since that history is also elsewhere recounted, even as Elrond himself set it down in the books of lore, it is not here recalled. For it is a long tale, full of deeds, great and terrible. And briefly, though Elrond spoke, the sun rode up the sky, and the morning was passing ere he ceased.
Strangers from distant lands, friends of old, you've been summoned here to answer the threat of Mordor. Middle-earth stands upon the brink of destruction. None can escape it. You will unite or you will fall. Each race is bound to this fate, this one doom.
Bring forth the ring, Frodo.
That was the opening of the Council of Elrond in the Fellowship of the Rings film. And it has a little bit of a different tone and tenor than what we have read. In fact, it almost implies, and maybe I'm just biased because we've been so deep in the text here, but it implies that somebody, perhaps Elrond himself, summoned everybody here for this council.
Yeah, you've been called here, and then he doesn't follow it up with what he says in the book, which is, you know.
But well, I didn't call you.
No.
In fact, nobody that we know of called you.
It's almost like there's an unseen presence in the world at work.
Well, but that comes through in spades in the book, that providence.
In the book, yeah.
Yes. You know, I love Hugo Weaving, and he is Elrond to me.
Yeah.
Not only is he Agent Smith, but even more than that, he is Elrond. Again, just keep in mind the different, you know, and when you watch the Council of Elrond in the film, and actually the few scenes leading up to it between Arwen and Aragorn, and between Aragorn and Boromir, and the shards of Narsil, and the very fact that the shards of Narsil were not in the possession of Elrond, they just sat down and really the writing team said, we just have to rewrite all of this stuff, you know, which is understandable. I understand that they're making a film and they got to get flow and everything, but they really just changed the tone and tenor.
Yeah.
You know, and it is what it is, and I love it. I was watching, you know, it last night, as a matter of fact. I almost always have on some kind of a Middle-earth film. If it's not Star Wars, it's some kind of a Middle-earth film that I have on in my presence. But I just wanted to point that out. So here we go. We are we're ready to start the next section.
Of Numenor, he spoke, its glory and its fall, and the return of the kings of men to Middle-earth out of the deeps of the sea, capital S, sea, by the way, born upon the wings of storm. Then Elendil the Tall and his mighty sons Isildur and Anarion became great lords, and the North Realm they made in Arnor, and the South Realm in Gondor above the mouths of the Anduin.
You know, sorry, I got to jump in again.
Oh, okay.
The other day, I came across a map, and I had never really considered where the North Kingdom of Arnor lay. I had a picture in my mind, but it actually turns out that it was completely different because, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, the Shire, where it is, was almost right in the heart of Arnor.
That was, it was like between Cardolan, which is like the Barrow Downs, and I can't remember the northern one. What is the northern one called?
Oh.
There's three different sections. I can't remember the northern one.
Oh, goodness. Now you just, up there, like where Lake Evendim is and
yeah.
And whatnot? Actually, I'm looking on, you can't see here on the camera in the studio, but I have a big map of Middle-earth hanging on my wall. Yeah, it's just above my head right up here. And I can't talk into the microphone as I'm looking back, but I do notice where it says Arnor, but I just had never appreciated how large that area was.
Took up the whole
all the west. Way to like the Blue Mountains and the Grey Havens.
All of what is the
Ruin?
Not Ruin, and that's over there, but whatever.
Eriador.
Yeah, Eriador. All of Eriador was controlled by the Numenoreans.
And so even though that's the kingdom of the north and Gondor in the south, it was really actually kind of like northwest and southeast.
Yeah.
Or north by northwest and south by southeast. They're just kind of a little bit...
obviously because it slants.
Right.
Like that.
But anyway, so you folks have to remember that. Keep that in mind when we get to the end of the book. And talking about the kingdom and when the king returns and what his kingdom actually is. Mm-hmm. So
the end of this book or the end of the trilogy?
No, the end of the
trilogy.
Yes.
Okay.
At the end of Return of the King.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay.
You know me, I like to interject.
But Sauron of Mordor assailed them, and they made the last alliance of elves and men. And that's all capitalized, by the way. The last alliance of elves and men. The Laim. Is that acronym? No? Okay.
No, that is not an acronym.
And the host of Gilgalad. Excuse me.
Oh, Gilgalad, sweet Gilgalad.
No. There is a bomb in Gilgalad. And Elendil were mustered in Arnor. Thereupon, Elrond paused a while and sighed. "I remember the splendor of their banners," he said. "It recalled to me the glory of the Elder Days and the hosts of
Beleriand."
Thank you. "So many great princes and captains were assembled, and yet not so many nor so fair as when
Thangorodrim
was broken, and the elves deemed that evil was ended forever, and it was not so." "You remember," said Frodo, speaking this thought aloud in his astonishment. "But I thought," he stammered as Elrond turned towards him, "I thought the fall of Gilgalad was a long age ago." "So it was indeed," answered Elrond gravely. "But my memory reaches back even to the Elder Days. Arendil was my sire, who was born in Gondolin before its fall."
I can't wait till we learn about Gondolin.
"And my mother..."
That's years down the road, though.
"And my mother was Elwing, daughter of Dior, son of Luthien of Doriath. I have seen three ages in the west of the world, and many defeats, and many fruitless victories. I was the herald of Gilgalad, and marched with his host. I was at the battle of
Daggerlad,
before the Black Gate of Mordor, where we had the mastery. For the spear of Gilgalad and the sword of Elendil, Iglos and Narsil, none could withstand. I beheld the last combat on the slopes of Orodwin, where Gilgalad died and Elendil fell, and Narsil broke beneath him, but Sauron himself was overthrown, and Isildur cut the ring from his hand with a hilt shard of his father's sword and took it for his own."
This is some fantastic history that we will learn more about later on, but the last alliance of men and elves and Elrond there and standing with Gilgalad and with his spear Iglos, and there was Narsil there, of course, because Elendil had that, and this battle, this epic battle, and I don't know, Micah, we're going to get into that, into Daggerlad later on, probably years from now, at the pace that we're going, but I have been waiting for so long in order to be able to play this particular song by one of my very favorite groups. Or guys, really, because it's mainly one guy. And the Lonely Mountain Band, off of their fantastic album, Beyond the Western Seas. Oh, boy. John D. Bartolo doing the Ballad of Iglos.
Wise king, lose not thy grip on me, for I I am the spear. Cold Iglos. Beneath the wave, I'm the last of the faithful set forth. With Gondor and Arnor, I joined in the war. I left the alliance of elves and men. I bring cold death to orc and goblin from the gathering at Imahar. Victory's ransom on the battle plain. 7 years of siege at Dark Tower. For my blade more pure than snowfall, and my sting is keener than ice. Hold me fast among thine enemies, for I am the spear. Yes, I am the spear.
I can't tell you how much I love that song. That's one of my very favorite songs by anybody. Just so powerful and so moving. The Ballad of Iglos, the spear of Gilgalad. And John just did a fantastic job writing that song. There's a great live version as well that he did at the New York Tolkien Conference. All of this stuff is available on their website. The URL is minstrelsongs.com. If you're watching the video, whether live on Twitch right now or on YouTube after the fact, that's what I'm showing you on the screen. And you want that song. You want everything by the Lonely Mountain Band. Thank you so much to John DiBartolo for giving us the permission to play his music. And that sets the mood. To me, this scene and this setting and Elrond telling the history of the One Ring and the Battle of Daggerlad and the last alliance between elves and men, that song just bolsters it. It's just so epic. Anyway, that I had to play that. I've been waiting for 22 episodes to play that track. And now I'm going to zip it and see if we can move through this chapter a little bit quicker. Well, do you think I'll be able to zip it?
No, but that's okay. That's okay. So let me actually just back up just a brief second, because the next person that speaks is kind of a jerk. He interrupts Elrond. But then again, he's proud like that, so...
Well...
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean Bond. It's either Sean Bond or Sean Bean.
And here comes the letters from the ladies.
Yeah, here they come. Here they come. But Elrond, Elrond concludes, but Sauron himself was overthrown, and Isildur cut the ring from his hand with the hilt shard of his father's sword and took it for his own. At this, the stranger Boromir broke in. So that is what has become of the ring, he cried. If ever such a tale was told in the south, it has long been forgotten. I have heard of the great ring of him that we do not name.
Voldemort.
But we, hey, whoa. Oh. Different franchise.
Oh, yeah, oh, sorry.
Different world altogether.
I love that world, too.
Yeah, my heart burns there, too.
Yes.
Oh, man, that cut me off.
I'm sorry.
See, if ever such a tale was told in the south, it has been long forgotten. I have heard of the great ring of him that we do not name.
Voldemort.
But we believe that it perished from the world in the ruin of his first realm. Isildur took it? That is tidings indeed. Alas, yes, said Elrond. Isildur took it, as should not have been.
Mm.
It should have been cast into the
Orodruin's
fire, nigh at hand where it was made. But few marked what Isildur did. He alone stood by his father in that last mortal contest. And by Gil-galad, only Círdan stood, and I. But Isildur would not listen to our counsel. So is he saying that he even, like at that moment, he even tried to convince Isildur to throw it in the fire?
Peter Jackson did get that part right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very well.
Okay. I haven't watched the movie in a while. So
listeners, go and watch. I know you're going to watch it this weekend anyway, because we all are. But you just, focus on that scene. It's great. That actor did a fantastic job. The gleam in his eye.
Yeah, but only problem was Círdan wasn't there.
Well, yeah. And I love how people say, hey, you know what? Gil-galad was in the film. He was the one guy that in that one frame. You know,
I know him.
That one frame? That wasn't holding a spear? Anyway. So, yes, that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
But Isildur would not listen to our counsel.
Yeah. This I will have as Wergild for my father. And my brother, he said. And therefore, whether we would or no, he took it to treasure it. But soon he was betrayed by it to his death. And so it is named in the north Isildur's Bane. Yet death maybe was better than what else might have befallen him. Only to the north did these tidings come, and only to a few. Small wonder it is that you have not heard of them, Boromir. I feel like that's a personal jab, but that's just me. From the ruin of the Gladden Fields, where Isildur perished, three men only came ever back over the mountains after long wandering. One of these was Otar, the esquire of Isildur, who bore the shards of the sword of Elendil. And he brought them to Valandil, the heir of Isildur, who, being but a child, had remained there in Rivendell. But Narsil was broken up and its light extinguished.
Mm.
And it has not yet been forged again.
Its light was extinguished.
Yeah. Doggone it. Fruitless did I call the victory of the last alliance? Not wholly so, yet it did not achieve its end. Sauron was diminished, but not destroyed. His ring was lost, but not unmade. The Dark Tower was broken, but its foundations were not removed. For they were made with the power of the ring, and while it remains, they will endure. Many elves and many mighty men and many of their friends had perished in the war. Anarion was slain, and Isildur was slain, and Gil-galad and Elendil were no more.
Hmm.
Never again shall there be any such league of elves and men. For men multiply, and the firstborn decrease, the first for men, capital men, multiply, and the firstborn, capitalized, decrease. The firstborn,
the Eldar.
Okay, the Elves. Okay. And the two kindreds were estranged. And ever since that day, the race of Numenor has decayed, and the span of their years has lessened. In the north, after the war and the slaughter of the Gladdenfields, the men of Westernes were diminished, and their city of Annúminas, thank you, beside Lake Evendim, fell into ruin.
Micah, is that that town up there in Evendim?
Do what?
In Lotro?
Annúminas?
Yeah.
Town?
Or
kingdom, more
you
like.
Know, it. I'm sorry. Yes. Well, it is in ruins. That's the one where one quest has where you can climb up the rope.
Well, that's the King's Crossing or whatever.
A bit
ways away, but it's the massive city.
Yeah, that huge statue and everything. They did a great job.
Actually,
with that.
Angmar currently, I think, is in control of that place as
at
the time of the Council of Elrond.
The men of Angmar.
Look out.
Okay.
Look out. Now, really quick, I know, we'll continue reading, but what I'm liking what Tolkien does here, literally, by writing. Yes, exactly. He's showing the aftermath of what happens in the north.
Maybe.
But what happens in the north is just like a paragraph. But then what happens in the south, and we're about to get to it, is three. More giantificus paragraphs. So a lot of detail, and it just so happens that Boromir is from the south.
That's King Louis.
That is.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. It was. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. let's see. And the heirs of Valandil removed and dwelt at Fornost, on the high north downs. And that now is too desolate. Men call it Dead Man's Dyke, and they feared to tread there. For the folk of Arnor dwindled, and their foes devoured them. Their lordship passed, leaving only green mounds in the grassy hills.
Hmm.
In the south... Wait a minute. Hold on. Pause. Okay. They got to Rivendell from the north, right?
Who did?
The company. Okay, the Hobbits and Strider
from the west.
From the west.
But they went north and then came down. Right? Is that? Oh no, that's when they were getting to Weathertop.
No, they took the East Road, and when they got to Weathertop, they just kind of veered a little bit north. So
is that when they went to the Barrow Downs?
The Barrow Downs were right after Bamforlong, after Farmer Maggot's visit. When they visited with him, and then they crossed the Brandywine into
Old Forest.
Well, yeah, that's where they entered the Old Forest, and then they're making the. We're still. I mean, really, we are still in what was Arnor.
Arnor being the kingdom of the north.
Of the north, yes.
Yeah.
But are you wondering about this?
The grassy mounds.
That's Fornost. The North Downs.
But are you thinking, are they barrows?
Are they Barrow Downs?
Or barrows,
yeah.
Yeah, with whites.
When it says the North Downs, it's not the North Barrow Downs.
Oh,
it's
just the North Downs.
Location.
Like a very Scottish type of a term, right?
Yeah.
Highlanders.
Yeah,
Okay,
just wanted to, okay. In the south, the realm of Gondor long endured. And for a while, its splendor grew, recalling somewhat of the might of the Numenor ere it fell. High towers that people built, and strong places, and havens of many ships, and the winged crown of the kings of men was held in awe by folk of many tongues. Their chief city was Osgiliath, Citadel of the Stars, through the midst of which the river flowed. And Minas Ithil, they built Tower of the Rising Moon, eastward upon the shoulder of the Mountains of Shadow, and westward at the feet of the White Mountains, Minas Anor they made, Tower of the Setting Sun. There in the courts the king grew a white tree. From the seed of that tree, which Isildur brought over the deep waters, And the seed of that tree before came from Eresia. Is that right?
I have no idea.
Okay.
We don't know. That's how we read it.
Oh, I love that comment in the chat. Razzleberries, I guess, says what happens in the north stays in the north.
Hey, as a little aside,
yes,
Aragorn is a ranger of the north, north, yes. Okay, or yes. Simply the Rangers is what they were also called, but they were the northern wandering people of Eriador, the last remnant of the Dunedain of Arnor. So we just read about the destruction and the, the evil forces coming in and dwindling the people of the north to nothing. Well, almost nothing, because the Numenoreans, those strong in the Numenorean blood became the Rangers.
Yeah.
So the Rangers of the north, that's what we think of.
Okay. There you go. But in the wearing of the swift years of Middle Earth, the line of Meneldil, the son of Anarion, failed. And the tree withered, and the blood of the Numenoreans became mingled with that of lesser men. Then the watch upon the walls of Mordor slept, and dark things crept back to Gorgoroth. And on a time, evil things came forth, and they took Minas Ithil and abode in it, and they made it a place of dread. They made it into a place of dread, and it is called Minas Morgul, the Tower of Sorcery. Then Minas Arnor was named anew Minas Tirith, Tower of Guard. And these two cities were ever at war, but Osgiliath lay between, was deserted, and in its ruins shadows walked.
I don't know if you remember Osgiliath from the films.
No.
Okay. Well,
no.
Sit tight.
Okay.
I guess. Well, that is where Denethor was sending Faramir to meet the...
You remember when they were charging in the field and Pippin was singing and stuff?
No.
Okay, well...
Oh, when he's in the presence of Denethor and singing.
I haven't watched...
Okay. Oh, good.
I haven't watched it since we covered it on FCC.
All right. Oh, goodness. That was a long time ago.
Wait. Okay, wait. So in Return of the King... Because he's not singing until Return of the King. Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which movie it is. Oh, no.
Well, it is Return of the King.
So when Pippin is singing in the court, not singing in the battlefield, but he's singing of that.
Yeah.
Denethor.
Yes. I know what you're talking
and
about
it's
now.
It's like playing two scenes at the same time.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
They went to Osgiliath.
They were charging that way. Yes. And the orcs were shooting at them from Osgiliath.
Yes.
So it's
okay.
Osgiliath was a very important place.
Okay. So it has been for many lives of men, but the lords of Minas Tirith still fight on, defying our enemies, keeping the passage of the river from Argonath to the sea. And now, that part of the tale that I shall tell is drawn to its close. For in the days of Isildur, the ruling ring passed out of all knowledge, and the three, capital three, were released from its dominion. But now, in this latter day, they are in peril once more.
Ah, the three rings.
Elven rings, right?
Were released, yes, from the dominion of the One Ring.
Mm-hmm.
But now, in this latter day, the three rings, are in peril once more.
For to our sorrow, the One Ring has been found. Others shall speak of its finding, for in that I played a small part.
Okay, we have about 15 minutes left of our normal length show. Shall we keep going? Micah, you make the call. You're the one that needs to go watch Gilligan's Island with a buddy.
I think we can pass. How far do you think we can get?
I don't know. So Boromir's about to stand up. Let's just recap for just a hot second.
Yeah.
Boromir's about to stand up and give his account. He's traveled leagues upon leagues to get to Elrond to answer this question of the dream that he had.
And his brother. But the dream is so important, and then that's going to launch me into some of my most important Christian themes that I have or will discuss
thus far.
In this chapter? Oh, yes. For the whole show?
Yes.
Since we started?
Yes.
To me. Well, perhaps we should devote that to a time when we have more time.
I understand. Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Or should we start Boromir? No, you know what? I have a feeling that Gandalf has a message for us. He's busting in, just busting at the seams, ready to just shout at us.
You need say no more. We'd best get a move on. There are still goblins about.
Oh, bother. More mountains?
No. Don't you see? The sun is setting in the west, behind the mountains. We're on the other side, to the edge of the land beyond.
We'll defer to Gandalf in this because I know that if we launched into Boromir, we're going to just keep going. And we're trying to keep these shows around an hour, which really actually means about an hour and 7 to an hour and 10 minutes. This one could easily turn into an hour and 20 minutes. And the information I think that we have unpacked so far and some of the questions that we have raised and just some of the asides and comments and sidebars that we have thrown in is enough to give listeners a lot of things to chew on as they are rereading the Council of Elrond. It's just amazing what we have discovered and learned about the Northern Kingdom. And that in the destruction... Now, of course, Minas Tirith has stood proud and resolute to this very day, to mm-hmm. this October 25th, 3018 of the Third Age. But now things are taking place there that caused Denethor, or we haven't met him yet in the book, but that is what brought Boromir to Imladris, and we're going to next week hear his part of the tale, his reason for coming and joining this impromptu, quote unquote, council.
This happenstance council.
That we know is it is all providence. This is Eru Iluvatar working in Middle Earth at this point. Just some great stuff, and I'm just thrilled that we got to play finally the Ballad of Aiglos, and maybe, hopefully, one day in the future, there will be another reason to play that song, because I'd like to play the live version as well.
Yeah.
The only reason why I didn't was that was a little bit longer version than the studio album version. Any points that you want to make that we talked about?
I'm excited to get on to Boromir and Aragorn.
Aragorn. Aragorn, that's a dragon movie we talked about on Finding Christ in Cinema.
Different.
Yes.
Different altogether.
Totally.
Imitation. I was looking forward to that because reading it and then, you know, taking a few days to digest it or whatever, there really seems like there's some unspoken tension between those two.
Oh, yes.
And more so than what comes out in this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And I know later it'll come out more, but...
Yeah.
It's good for the ride now.
On Twitter, Diana just mentioned us, says, oh no, I'm only catching the show at the very end. Diana, go to secretfirepodcast.com and you will be able to listen to the podcast version, which will be released on Tuesday morning. Early morning is when we release the podcast versions. Or just subscribe to the Secret Fire Podcast in your favorite podcast app. We appreciate you sending that message, and we appreciate you joining us here at the end of this particular show. Brendan, you're talking about Boromir. I want to make one thing very clear to you right now, and this may be a spoiler, but take it as it is. The way that Boromir is portrayed in the films is Boromir isn't like that.
Hmm.
Boromir is a very honorable man. And you will grow to love him. I love Sean Bean or Bean Sheen Bean.
Sheen Bean.
Sheen Bean. As Boromir.
Not the unseen Bean.
Don't get me wrong. But they had to, the movie is just a completely different medium, and they had to rewrite everything in order to fit their budget and their time constraint, right? Boromir is a great character. His brother is an even better character.
Mm-hmm. I love family.
Oh, man, and they did him a disservice in the films.
Well, I just want to say to that, I don't. Just from reading the text, I can tell that he is a good character. He's a good character in that he's a rich and meaty, deep character.
Yes, yes.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was that in the movies too. Like he was just a very interesting character.
We'll have a great conversation in retrospect when we get to the end of Boromir's story. Then we'll be able to go back. That might be a special episode. We might be able to do some special episodes the further we go in to the book, where we're able to compare. Not that we are, I shouldn't say compare. Well, we're going to compare the films or the various different mediums, animated and dramatized audio and things like that, to the text, to the source. I think that would be fun to do that, a character study side by side. What do you think?
I don't know.
Oh, he doesn't know.
Maybe.
Okay, maybe I'm just talking crazy. That's just crazy talk. Micah, did you have anything that you wanted to point out before we wrap up?
Not this episode.
No? Did you think we did a good job?
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent job.
Excellent. Excellent. Hey, well, we didn't get any feedback from our last episode. That was 3 weeks ago. That makes me kind of sad. So the party invitations, they're just, you know, they're laying on somebody's entryway.
Wait, hold on. We got some feedback.
We do?
Yeah.
Well, what?
Hold on. It's on Twitter.
Wait. Oh, right now?
What
so we got...
earth are these?
Replies to the party invitations.
It was on Twitter.
I already mentioned that.
Good gracious.
Huh? Good gracious. I already mentioned that.
No, we got more.
Oh, okay. What is it?
No, not who was it? Just Diane?
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about her.
Well, Diana.
Diana
Muircast.
Yeah, it was Mr. Joseph Villafagne.
Hey!
Yeah. He said, and he said this on September 8th, so this was at the release of the last episode. Council of Elrond, part one. I'm sorry. Okay, sidebar.
Elrond.
One of my pet peeves.
Elrond. Yes?
Yeah. One of my pet peeves is when people add a letter at the end of words that should not be there. For example, there's a lunch lady that I work with, and she...
Dana Carey?
No. And actually, her name... Oh, she's never going to listen to the show, so I can say her name.
Yeah.
It's Miss Diane, which is not who tweeted at us. She, whenever she says the word twice, she adds a T at the end
twice?
Of it. She says twice. Every time, like, she's getting on the kids.
What? My 5-year-old daughter does that on the word safe. She says safed.
Safed?
Yeah, it's not that? Safed. There is no safed.
I don't want to tell. I want to tell Miss Diane. There's no twice. There's once, twice, thrice,
three times, my lady.
Three times. She just says, and it's when she's in these moments of anger is when she says it. She'll be getting onto the kids. I've already told you twice. I've told you twice. But anyway, Mr. Joseph Villafagne, back to the feedback. He says, thanks for the shout out. Yes, you did pronounce my name correctly, and I can't wait for the next episode. God bless.
Aww.
So there you go.
We are so happy to have you in the fellowship.
Yeah.
I love the fellowship. You know, listeners, what did you get out of the section of the Council of Elrond that we read today? That backstory, the last alliance of elves and men, the battle of, what is it, Micah? Daggeroth? Daggerad?
Daggerlad.
Daggerlad. You know, that history that Tolkien created is tangible. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can almost reach out and touch it.
Yeah.
And it's palpable. You can feel it. You can taste it. He puts you there. He's just a fantastic, phenomenal writer. And this history that he crafted, man, we are blessed to have this and to be able to examine it and learn about people.
Yeah.
We can learn about people through this, not just hobbits and elves and Numenoreans who are more than people. They're super people, right? But the human condition is just on every page so far.
the human condition.
Yeah.
So let us know. We'll give you all the ways to contact us here in just a moment. But the Secret Fire Podcast is live each Saturday, Lord willing, or as I tweeted out last night, Iluvatar willing and the Bruinen don't rise.
Hey, there you
That's
go.
Our saying here, here about 2:30 p.m. Eastern time in the GCT Network studio. You can join us for live video on our Twitch page at twitch.tv/secretfirepodcast.
And you can join us on the Arkenstone server in Lord of the Rings Online at lotro.com.
To find out more about the Secret Fire Podcast, as well as our other shows, including Finding Christ in Cinema and the Theonauts, visit our main website at gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the Hobbit Hotline at 507-407-GCTN, where Fatty Bulger is standing by.
Yep.
That's 507-407-4286. Or you can send us an email at secretfire@gctnetwork.com. But let's say you want to be like Mr. Joseph Villafagne.
And Diana.
And tweet at us at the Twitters.
Yes.
You can tweet to us at twitter.com/secretfirecast. But let's just say you want to listen to the good old podcast.
Diana does.
You can go to iTunes. You can go to Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatcher and search them all for the Secret Fire Podcast.
And one more time, let me mention our new Patreon page. And so if you go to gctnetwork.com/donate or gctnetwork.com/support, that will take you to patreon.com/GCTN. Just asking for a cup of water from any of you folks that have one laying around. Wet our whistle. Keep these mouth noises down. Our theme song, Hobbit's Dance, is from the album Memories of Middle-Earth by Brobdignagian Bards. Find out more about them and buy CDs and all kinds of goodies. Get over to their website at thebards.net. And until next time, we regret to tell you that...
I regret to announce this is the end. I'm going now. I bid you all a very fond farewell.
Goodbye!
It was tied to a Numenorean.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At gctnetwork.com.
Transmission.